and representative to the Board of Trustees.
Hello? Is this on?
Is it on?
For the month of November in 2016, Marysville High School's ASB has a will put on the following events. The week of November 14th through the 18th, Marysville High School is having dress up days for the annual battle rally. The battle rally is fire versus ice. The dress up days are plaid versus stripes for Monday, summer versus winter for Tuesday, crazy socks versus crazy hair on Wednesdays, nerds versus jocks on Thursdays, and Friday it is pink versus blue. The battle rally is on Friday after 6th period. Marysville has also started the canned food drive. It is a competition between the classes, freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors, to see what class can bring in the most cans. It started on November 8th and will continue on to November 18th. The class that brings the most cans will receive a reward of money, first place $150 and second place $50. On November 17th, Marysville is also having the first blood drive of the school year. Sign-ups for the blood drives are on November 14th and 16th. On November 16th, leadership will have a Cool Hand Luke's fundraiser from 5 to 7 p.m., where the proceeds go to MHS ASB. It is a fundraiser to help raise money for leadership students to go to the leadership conference, CASEL. This year, Marysville High School's juniors and seniors are piloting a new program called Link Crew. It is a program where the upperclassmen mentor freshmen. We've had two events so far. One was a scavenger hunt, and the second was a get-together with cookies and cider. Freshmen's participation has been successful, and the program has made an improvement in our school. Link Crew has been planning our next event, which will be to offer tutoring and snacks for the freshmen during finals week in December. Marysville is also currently planning and organizing Adopt-A-Family. Clubs and or classes chooses to adopt a family and bring in items that are essential to the needs. And then for Lyndhurst High School's board report.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm just...
Are you whistling?
Yes, well, it was meant for you.
Starting the month of November was a canned food drive in which we donate canned food to help those in need through our partnership with the Soey Canned Food Foundation. It is going to continue on till November 17th. The junior class is organizing prom and has chosen the theme of A Night in Paris. The date and location are still being determined. The Diverse Student Association participated in the Hmong Forgotten Veterans Memorial Service on November 5th. The Lyndhurst Blazerettes performed at the Veterans Day Parade with the school band last Friday. The Blazerettes also perform at school functions and will be in the Marysville Christmas Parade and the Oliver's Christmas Parade. FFA is currently holding a cookie dough sale in which you get 2.7 pounds tub for $20. FFA also started the opening and closing contest today and will start the Operation Gratitude fundraiser this month. The wrestling team has been conditioning and the first tournaments will be on November 26th and the 30th. This year, the boys and girls leagues will be separate. Our robotics club has been successful in receiving grants, totaling $1,000 from the Kiwanis Club and the Linden Lions. They've also placed 16 out of 25 at the last competition. It will be competing again on December 10th. The murder mystery dinner was on the 12th, and the leadership class worked extremely hard to pull through and made the evening great.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Kathy, you have one more meeting with us next month? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Next we go to presentations, the Williams Act update.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
My name is Dr. Francisco Reveles. I am the new Yuba County Superintendent of Schools, and it is indeed an honor to address this very distinguished group. As the new county superintendent, I am here first and foremost to extend my respect to you and to extend my hand also in the spirit of collaboration on behalf of our students here at Yuba County. I also want to express my deep appreciation to Dr. Todd after our initial visit. I want to thank you for your feedback, your support, and your feedback, support, and your guidance. Okay, and it's much appreciated. Thank you. Part of the reason us being here today is to talk about the Williams Act visitations. As you're aware, all LEAs in California are required to provide students with equal access to instructional materials, quality schools, safe schools, and qualified teachers. So in that regard, the County Office of Education is tasked with the responsibility of conducting those Williams monitoring visits. I also want to introduce my colleague, esteemed colleague here, Ms. Assistant Superintendent Bobby Abelt, who conducted many of those meetings, many of those visitations. I also want to express that I also visited one of them. It was fantastic, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes, but there were a number of schools that were designated for Williams monitoring visits. The schools were Cedar Lane Elementary School, Yuba Feather Elementary School, Linda Elementary School, Yuba Garden Intermediate School, Lyndhurst High School, and Johnson Park Elementary School. I'm happy to say that there were no negative findings as a result of those monitoring visits, so my congratulations. I specifically also want to add that I also had the honor of visiting and presenting at Lyndhurst High School, and I want to thank Mr. Eckert and Assistant Principal Mr. Schmidt. I presented two motivational presentations to the students, but also had the pleasure of doing a walkthrough. It was an honor. Being a former Division I high school principal, I got to see the quad, the food service, the media center. I mean, I was blown away, the culinary, so my congratulations to you. Let me turn over to Bobby here.
I just again want to thank Lenny in the district office for helping me to coordinate the visits, the principals, some of them are here tonight, and I really appreciate the relationship that we have been able to build together over the last 6 years of my doing the visitations. We went through, when I began, it was literally still holding up textbooks and interrupting instruction. And through the relationship of mutual trust and respect, we were able to really streamline that so that I go in and teachers barely even know I'm there, hopefully. We might have to ask a question or two, especially with the primary grades, you know, where are your social studies flyers? But other than that, it was really a very pleasant and positive experience, and one that I actually look forward to each year now. So thank you, and thank you to the site administrators for making that so.
If I could just add one more final comment, would that be
okay? Sure.
I like to share this because it really gives a context of why I'm here. During the initial interviews for the county superintendent, I was asked a very important question. The question was, why are you applying for this position? I'm a former university professor, like I said, a school administrator, counselor, science teacher. The way I responded was, I'm not here because it's a promotion, because it's a career move. It's personal. And I say it because every time I drive by the Greyhound bus depot downtown, the cinder block, it brings back memories. The way we came, my family, I was 8 years old, we were homeless. And our money ran out at that Greyhound bus depot. And so I know when I was interviewed, I shared with the interview panel that it's one thing to have the superintendent identify with the community, but it's just as important to have the community be able to identify with the superintendent. So again, I extend my respect to you. Thank you.
And Mr. President, if I could just mention, it has been a wonderful relationship that we've built. We've begun many years ago the LCAP journey together when we didn't really know what it was we were supposed to write down and what are the components, and Bobby was instrumental in helping us make sure all of our I's were dotted and T's were crossed, and so it's been a wonderful relationship, and we look forward to that continuing, and we love having you here as well, Dr. Reves.
Thank you, Dr. Todd.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Coordinated School Health Council, Amber Watson and council members.
I brought a team to help me today. Good evening, members of the board and Dr. Todd. Our district's current student wellness policy requires annual evaluation and board updates on compliance and initiatives around wellness in our schools. In the spring of 2016, we successfully completed our first evaluation of the goals set in this policy. First, I'd like to provide a brief overview of the wellness policy and why we have one. You may recall in March of 2015, representatives of the committee presented a revised policy that was subsequently approved. In the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010, stricter guidelines were set to strengthen the local wellness policy and add requirements for public participation, transparency, and implementation. In addition, Healthy People 2020 identifies national health improvement priorities for a 10-year period. It is science-based, establishes benchmarks, and allows for monitoring of health at a national level. For the next decade, there is an emphasis on wellness throughout childhood and adolescence. Healthy People 2020 now includes objectives for early and middle childhood as well as adolescence, many of which can be seen in our wellness policy. The district's coordinated school health and wellness committee leads the wellness charge with meeting 3 times a year to advise on training and implementation needs. The committee has representation that includes teachers, principals, students, nutrition services, health services, and community partners. Several members of the committee are here tonight to present with me, and I'll introduce them now, and they'll come up on their specific slides. So myself, I'm Amber Watson. I'm the Director of Nutrition Services. We have Chelsea Slattery, Program Manager for Center for Nutrition in Schools, Michelle Hendricks, teacher at Marysville High School, Amy Bernard, student and ASB President at Marysville High School, Tina Bond, Nutrition Site Manager 3 at Lyndhurst High School, Jerry Eccles, Nutrition Site Manager 3 at Marysville High School, and Carmen Dudek, District School Nurse. This slide gives an overview of the extensive work that this committee has done over many years. The original wellness policy was adopted in school year 2007-08. In school year 2014-15, revision to this policy was drafted and adopted. Notification, implementation, and training with regards to the policy revisions occurred at the site level during school year 15-16. In addition, sites completed the annual wellness policy evaluation, the first of our data collection of this policy. Tonight, we are presenting you the data collected from the wellness policy evaluation and goals the committee has established as a result of these findings. The wellness policy evaluation was created with each part of the wellness policy in mind. It focuses on physical education, nutrition education, school-based activities, nutrition on campus, staff, community, parent, and volunteer involvement, students, organizations, and ASB, and health services. The evaluation consists of a series of questions pertaining to different groups that may be involved with wellness activities on school campuses. Supplemental questions were added to collect qualitative data from each school site. Each question asked respondents to reply as a needs improvement, meets expectations, or exceeds expectations. During data analysis, each response was assigned a number value of 0, 1, and 2, as you see on your screen. And schools were asked to complete the evaluation by May 1st. We will be presenting the data from the school's evaluations that were collected at the end of the school year 15-16. First, you will be presented with a slide that will provide an overview of the board policy goals. Then you will be presented with a slide with this format that you see on the screen now. This rating scale will indicate if schools' responses fell in the below expectations, meets expectations, or exceeds expectations. And we have indicators for intermediate and high school and elementary, so you will see markers on that rating scale. We will highlight some of the best practices and challenges that schools provide. At this time, I'd like to welcome Chelsea Slattery to present on 2 sections of the evaluation, physical and nutrition education, and staff and community and parent involvement.
Good evening. It's my pleasure to be here this evening and to also have been a member of the Wellness Committee over the past few years and to watch it grow and progress in the way that it has. And so the first slide here that I'm going to be presenting is on physical education, nutrition education, and school-based activities. In the policy, it covers the physical education components and the requirements for grades 1 through 6, which is 200 minutes every 10 days of school, and grades 7 through 12, which is 400 minutes every 10 days of school. This section of the board policy sets goals for healthy behaviors focused around physical education, nutrition education, and activities in the schools. So this shows you where we are and what we've learned so far as a after conducting the evaluation measures within the elementary and the intermediate and high schools. So you can see some of the best practices that were documented as a result of last year's evaluation is that there are some really great things that are going on in some of the schools, including some sports leadership classes. The STARS after school program is doing some really great things with nutrition education. The Harvest of the Month is being utilized within the elementary schools, I believe the high schools too. And then Dairy Council curriculum is being taught in many of the schools in Marysville. And the UC CalFresh Nutrition Education Program is also providing a lot of nutrition education and resources throughout the schools and the after-school programs. And then some of the school activities include Farm Day, Ride Out Healthy Kids, assemblies, and the school gardens. And then there were some hurdles that were identified, or challenges, if you will. And a couple of those that really stood out as a result of the evaluation was some of the limits for the planning of curriculum and execution of PE in the alternative schools. And then also the need for staff development to incorporate nutrition education into the core curriculum and the PE for both elementary and high school. And then I'm also going to cover this evening the staff and community parent volunteer involvement. So this just gives you a brief overview of what is currently in the policy as it pertains to the staff, community, and parent involvement. And so you can take a brief look at that there, but the teachers and staff are encouraged to model healthy behaviors. Parent volunteer groups at schools are encouraged to promote health and wellness by incorporating physical activity into programs, fundraisers, and other events. And then the classroom celebrations, the nutrition quality should be considered when donating foods and beverages during these celebrations, and they should occur after lunch. And so as a result of some of the data that were collected over the past school year, you can see that there were also some best practices documented, healthy behaviors of there's teachers and staff walking groups that exist on campus, Fitbit groups, demonstrations of healthy eating habits are occurring at these schools. And then with classroom celebrations, they're being monitored when the food and beverages are being dropped off at the schools, and the communication of the standards to the parent-teacher organizations, and it's been communicated through flyers and newsletters. And then some of the hurdles that were identified were the struggle as the classroom celebrations continue to have sugary snacks, and so we are, as a committee, looking into addressing some of these hurdles and challenges and developing subcommittees that can work on incorporating some nutrition education into the schools. And at this time, I'd like to go ahead and introduce Tina Bond and Jerry Eccles to share on the next section, which is the nutrition services.
Good evening. It's a true privilege to be here to talk about our program. So as you can see on the slide, I'm just going to read a brief overview of what the slide says. It says the board policy and administrative regulation have goals for meeting the National School Lunch Program, regulations and criteria for selling food on campus. In California, we have both federal and state regulations in regards to selling foods outside the National School Lunch Program. Our policy also sets goals for encouraging healthy classroom celebrations. So that's just a brief overview of the next, then we'll go to the next slide, which is where we get to kind of tout how awesome we are, because we think we're really great. You can see that we've met or exceeded expectations on this slide. So if we'll go ahead and go over to the next slide. That's my slide? Sweet. Okay, good. So now I'm going to get to talk to you about how I really want to talk about our program just a little bit. So what we do as a department is something kind of exciting the last couple of years. We have recipe and menu development committees. So we actually meet as managers, several of us, and we talk about our menus and how important it is that we keep up with current trends that are out in the communities. I know about you, but when I eat, I look at food with my eyes first. And so do the students, and they have some palates that are just as profound as ours, and they want good, nutritious food, but they also want it to taste and look amazing. So our committees have met together, and we're really working on some wonderful things and have come up with some new pizza recipes, which, of course, every child loves pizza, some new chicken bowl recipes with mashed potatoes and gravy and all those fun things that kids like that still meet with our regulations, which is really fun and exciting. So we've been doing that. We also have a new, it's called the Taste Test Toolkit. So it's kind of exciting. We're going to be able to go out to our schools. We have a kit that we're able to actually meet with each student, sit down maybe with principals, talk to these kids, find out what they really like, get their evaluation on the food, and then we can see if we can implement that in their schools. So that's what I find really fun. At Lyndhurst High School, we have a Sandwich Your Way cart. So because our lines were taken down from two lunch periods to one, we decided to become innovative and see what we can still produce with that less time. So we were able to do like a Subway type with a grant. We got this beautiful cart, and now we've increased our breakfast participation, and now we have this beautiful Subway cart, kind of. It's called Sub Your Way. We go out there, and they get to pick their bread, their meat, their cheese, their vegetables, their sauces, and make their own sandwich. And we're now doing almost 100 students on that line. So we haven't lost any meals by being innovative and just reaching outside the box. California School Nutrition Association offers a lot of training for us. We have our own local chapter that we try to get our nutrition assistants and managers involved in so that we continue to get CEUs and be able to advance ourselves and educate ourselves. So it's pretty exciting to be a part of this department and a part of the wellness policy. I've been involved since 2008, so I'm really excited to continue my involvement. And now I'll turn the time over to Jerry.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. So I just kind of wanted to touch on, at our school at Marysville High School, when they back when the wellness policy came in intact, that we had to change things. Like they had food days. They were used to be able to go out and sell all this great food and have all these fundraisers. Well, it became where it wasn't meeting the requirements that we had to meet. So it kind of stopped. And so it was really hard for our ASB to have any fundraisers and stuff. So one of the things is we reached out to them to try to help them. And so some of the stuff that we sell a la carte, we kind of stopped selling so that we can kind of hand it to them and let them be able to make some money and have some fundraisers for their groups and stuff. So one of the things this year that we did is we actually met with them, and we decided to let them buy it through our vendors so that we knew everything that they were getting was going to be approved through the wellness policy so that we wouldn't have to worry about, you know, them saying, let's go get this from here and here, and then it not meeting it and then saying, sorry, you can't do that. So that's been a great thing to be able to pair up with them this year. We've done a taste testing with some of the leadership over there, and I would like to continue to do that, to talk to the kids and see what it is that they like, you know, because they are our customers and we want to please them. And so we want them to go home and say, guess what I had at school today? You know, so we're working hard to become a big part of that with the kids. So at this time, I'd like to welcome Michelle Hendricks and Amy Bernard to present the next section on students, organizations in the ASB.
Thank you, Jerry. You do an amazing job. My name is Michelle Hendricks, and I'm the Activities Director at Marysville High School. And with me is my ASB President, Amy Bernhard. And we were hoping that we can have an opportunity to, one, thank you guys for letting us come and speak as a teacher and as a student at one school. But at the same time, in my classroom curriculum, nutrition is taught in all three levels of my health class, my sports medicine, and my anatomy. So I actually joined the group as the teacher for those purposes at first, but at the same time, I'm also the leadership advisor. So the student group that we have is really very amazing, and with the help of the program, starting in 2014, we brought in a student rep every single time. So Alana Hodges was our first student rep, Hannah Daly last year, and now Amy Bernhard. And so we're going to continue to do that. So we always have student representation at Wellness, which is really, really nice. With that, I just want to touch base on what Jerry and Tina were saying. The collaboration effort with the nutritional services and our fundraising have been absolutely amazing. The flexibility that the Wellness Committee has given us is allowed us to speak freely at these meetings that say, you know what, yes, we did not want to get rid of our food days. Those were a huge financial aspect of our raising money for each individual classes or clubs, and the kids were really disappointed at first. And so what we've done is, by having student representation and coming to all the meetings, we've found a nice collaborative effort to still provide good food, nutritional services to the students, at the same time still use some funding. And so with that, we also had the student leadership students, like Jerry had mentioned, do a taste test, pizza crust, something that the kids really liked, and they were able to give their input. And we were going to continue to try to do that over and over again. With that also, we had food days, and now we have picnic days. So picnic days right now are where at first they started off with encouraging kids to just bring food instead of buying food, and sit on the in a blanket or a chair and hang out and play outdoor games and be outdoors. And we collaborated with the cafeteria so they would do burgers or something that felt real picnicky, watermelon or something like that. So again, just making sure that we have a communication has really, really been really good for us. The other thing I wanted to add, and before I turn it over to Amy, is the student store snacks. And Amy's going to talk a little bit more about that. But we did not have snacks after 2008. They were completely stripped from our student store. We weren't allowed to sell them, even though we were what we called 50% compliant on the nutritional food. So they were some baked items, that kind of stuff. But they weren't really meeting the nutritional policy, so they completely came off the shelf. We didn't make money up until 2014 did we start bringing it to the wellness committee. Is there any way that we can still have revenue from snack sales? What would you be willing to let us sell? And as Jerry mentioned, over the course of almost 3 years now, we have a student store that has healthy, nutritious snacks that in agreement we can sell during the school day, and what we can sell after school that is not in competition with the cafeteria. So those kind of relationships is what we've come to for the last 3 years. So I'm going to turn it over to Amy from a student perspective.
Good afternoon. Thank you for letting us come. I'm obviously a student and also the ASB president at Marysville High School. As a student, of course, it was horrible to hear that our food days are taken away, because that's something that we loved. Freshman year, I got to participate in it, and then it was gone, and nobody understood why. And I think that was a big problem, is that students were upset and angry as, why is this taken away from us? It's so good. And then so going to the wellness meetings and being a part of the committee, you realize why. And having Jerry come to our classroom, our leadership class, having Ms. Hendricks be a part of it, they were able to explain to leadership, who in turn will explain to the rest of the students as to why. And now they understand, and nobody really misses food days anymore, which is a great thing to be able to have, and people aren't as upset about it anymore, which is really awesome. And like I said, or Ms. Hendricks said, they are starting to sell food in our student store that's healthy, and we have had great sales in our student store, more than I've ever seen. People come in there. People come in there to buy snacks all the time, and waters and Gatorade, and it's just a great place for them to come and eat something that's healthy, but they still feel like, oh, well, I'm buying it, so it's going to be really good tasting. So it's awesome. It's helped us raise a lot more money for our student store and for our ASB, which is super important since our food days were taken away, because that allowed us to make a lot of money. And now, in turn, we're raising that money back again, which is super important. And I think it's also important for the students, because the students are able to eat something healthy, and they're not upset about it anymore. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about ASB. So I'd now like to welcome up Carmen Dudek to present the next section.
Hi there. Nice to see some faces I think I recognize from going to school in the district. So I am Carmen Dudek. I'm one of your three school nurses. And as you can see on this slide, it is our policy overview. And I feel like your school nurses and health services do provide these. We certainly provide communicable disease outreach and control. We have letters available for certain standard diseases that are frequent. We do rely on school sites to identify at-risk at-risk kids and who will then make a phone call to the school nurse, and we can go ahead and then consult over the phone with parent and or go to the school, do an assessment and evaluation on the child. And at times there's even a healthcare plan put into place. Sure. So I believe that our best practice from health services is our annual hearing and vision program. And in that program, we screen about 4,600 kids per year. We screen kindergarten first, second, fifth, eighth, and tenth. We also seek out teachers' referrals for kids identified at risk. And we also screen your each year students receiving special education and RSP services when the standard is every 3 years. So I believe that is above standard. We do partner with a doctor of optometry, and I believe that is a superb service that a doctor serves your schools for the vision screening at 10 of our large elementary schools. When there is a fail, we share that information with our teachers, and we also send a letter home within 1 week of the fail to advise a doctor referral. We, just last year, got a new vision technology brought into our program. We have what is called a auto refractor. That's a handheld machine that your nurses can hold and screen the students. It's very quick. I'm finding that it's very accurate. And it's not just the chart on the wall. It's not the e-chart on the wall. It's beyond 2020. It's beyond a 2030 readout. You get refractive error, which is like going to the doctor and getting that prescription. So I think that our hurdles is that with the growing healthcare needs in our community and growing diabetic needs, you know, you can't always have school nurses and or health aides at every site. And I believe that we're growing our program, and we've happily added two health aides to our program. And that's it. And Amber, are you back? Okay, thank you.
Thank you to the committee members for their part in presenting all this data. And so now I'm going to summarize a little bit and finish up. So supplemental questions were included in the evaluation to gain qualitative data at the site level. They were asked to identify three areas to improve at their school and what steps they needed to take to achieve those goals. Schools set individual goals, for example, to improve food and beverages brought to class parties, explore fundraisers that don't involve food, incorporate healthy behaviors into the school culture. Next steps were provided, such as uniting school staff on the initiative or their school goal, improving communication to parents and guardians on the school wellness, and incorporating nutrition education to promote healthy eating behaviors. Lastly, schools were asked to state specific help and support that was necessary to make these goals come to life. Schools wanted to learn from others on non-food fundraisers and access to user-friendly nutrition curriculum, and many stated that they needed support from multiple arenas to help with compliance. Sites are doing a great job. They're embracing the policy revisions and implementing positive wellness initiatives. There are some opportunities for improvement and the ability to support sites with additional physical education and nutrition professional development and curriculum. Some interesting observations by the Wellness Committee included that schools rated themselves higher on sections where the school had more control, such as nutrition education and physical education, whereas schools rated themselves lower in areas where they had less control, such as classroom parties and celebrations where parents brought snacks from home. The committee reviewed the school site data that was collected and has set these goals to foster continued growth in student wellness. Our 16-17 goals are to increase participation in the National School Lunch Program, provide elementary schools with an approved list of food items to sell for fundraisers and events during school time, to host a diabetic health fair to reach high-risk students, form an ad hoc committee on nutrition education and physical education, and improve security partnerships with Marysville Police Department. Thank you for your time this evening, and we're happy to answer any questions if there are any.
So, Amber, I do have one question.
Okay.
When we're talking about the curriculum, maybe for the elementary school, do we have that curriculum that we could implement? Is it a canned curriculum, or do we need to get it developed, or do we need to buy it from somebody?
For nutrition curriculum?
For nutrition education.
We actually have partnerships with community organizations, such as Chelsea's organization that she's representing, as well as the Dairy Council and Centers for Healthy Communities out of Chico State. So we have curriculum available to us at no cost to our schools, and it's just connecting them and getting training for the teachers. So our ad hoc committee is actually getting together to establish how we can do that better.
So the challenge that we're having is just getting that curriculum to the school site and the teacher to implement.
Right.
Okay.
And to integrate it into the core curriculum time, because there's no minutes tied to nutrition education. While we have standards to provide it, there aren't minutes. So sometimes it's getting creative and finding where they can combine it with other lessons.
Okay, thank you. I had one other question from maybe either Ms. Hendricks or for Amy from a student standpoint. What's the feeling about not having to pay for breakfast or lunch? Are we seeing more kids take advantage of it from your standpoint, or?
From my standpoint, I think definitely. I think that a lot of students who are also on our campus, and I know other schools' campuses do live homeless, and a lot of students who don't have the kind of things that they need or things that they have offered to them at home. So for them to be able to be offered free breakfast and lunch at school, I think is a great thing, and I think you see a lot more kids. I mean, when I walk out there, I see a ton more kids than there used to be getting lunch and getting breakfast because they aren't really scared to anymore because they don't have to pay for it, and I think it's a great thing. Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Anecdotally speaking, too, Jerry and Tina have a little competition going because Tina used to blow Jerry out of the water with her meal counts, and now Jerry's numbers are higher than Tina's numbers. So Marysville High is providing more meals than Lyndhurst High right now. Sorry, Tina.
It's amazing with your group how you brought all this together, because I know the sales, as a former student body director, and Bernie was also. I was in McKinney in the 70s, and we had a student store, and I remember all the stuff we sold, and Superintendent and I battled a couple times over it. Even in those days, we grossed $140,000 to $145,000, but I did not think of the health of the kids. And when I came on the board, I'm sure you know that some of you know I had a health challenge. In fact, the last superintendent asked me when I told him I was going to run for the board, "Do you doubt that you'll live through your term?" And that's when I took a total researched health, turned it around, and I remember the answer was, well, with the grace of God, I know that I will when I'm going for my fourth. But it was nutrition that totally turned it around, or I would have been dead. And I did a lot of research, and it's made amazing, and I don't know how. With this, I know that, I don't know if some of the schools gave you problems because I got some of the calls. But with how my health turned around, I said, you know, this is very important, and you need to work with them. And I know one of the middle schools, but I'm sure that he understands now, the person out there, that it's important for these kids' health. We're building a better generation, and it makes a difference for their learning. And when I look back what we sold, I just shudder to stuff that we used to sell, candy bars and the donuts. And you've done a good job bringing this together.
Thank you. Thank you.
Facilities update. Okay.
Good evening and thank you. First, I'd like to say, just before transitioning, thank you to Nutrition Services, Health Services, everyone involved with the Wellness Committee, everybody district-wide that contributes to the health of our students. It is a collaborative effort, and it's showing. They've had a lot of successes, but again, you know, we're going to keep trying to improve. Moving on to facilities and talking about improvement, We're working on presenting it in a little different fashion, our quarterly update to you. As you'll see, we have projects completed, both from facilities and then maintenance and operations, as well as in progress. Cynthia will also come up and talk about an energy management program, and then I'll wrap up with facilities master planning. So with that, I'll get going, and Cynthia will start with her completed projects.
Good evening. It's always nice to be here. For tonight, we're going to kind of go through these pretty quickly so we can spend the bulk of the time on the master plan items. The changes on my slides for projects in completion are basically the numbers or the things that have changed since last quarter. So you can see these are all as of October 31st. So the quad, these are those numbers. We're in punch now. I'm collecting all the guarantees, warranties, manuals, cut sheets, things like that, as-built to make sure we have a good, complete set of documents. It takes a tremendous amount of effort to get the punch items complete and to get everything in hand before we release retention. And so that's where we are with all of these projects. I've actually paid retention on our BOGA and a couple of projects this week, and the rest will follow shortly. And I'll turn it over to Travis.
Good evening. Always fun to be here, go over everything. So just kind of brush over everything real quick. We have our Browns Valley marquee that we installed earlier this month. Did that in-house at a cost of about $450. Again, you'll see the cost avoidance that we do here, doing things in-house. Thanks to the guys, they actually fabricated that entire structure that held that marquee, welded it in our shop there. So good job to the maintenance crew for doing that, very ingenuitive. We've got our Shoreline, Powder, Cedar Lane, and Oliver's that we have installed up and running. Doing good out there for Toothmobile. They're happy about it. We've done some district office window replacements out here. We're going to slowly start taking out some of these cracked windows. If anybody's ever been on the DO, you notice a lot of them don't open shut. There's plexiglass. There's all sorts of funky things, followed by some abatements. So we obviously have a lot of lead paint in that. So if you see the windows out there and you see that the trim's not painted, things like that, we're in the process right now to get that removed. We also have our Foothill landscaping project that came out beautiful. You'll look at the contractor price on that, about $190,000 was that project, was around about to get that completed. We're at about $17,000 right now into that with material. We've done, it's complete transformation. If you haven't been up there, I say get out there and check it out. You have our Connex boxes we did over here at Linda and Oliver's. Again, just more showboating what the guys do out there for different departments. South Lyndhurst Greenhouse, fam, we've got all these wired up now. Other completed projects, you can kind of go through the list and kind of go through any of those. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
Back to Cynthia. Okay, moving on to projects in progress. We have the Increment 2 well underway. Some of the timelines, we have the duct up in the gym already as of this week. They'll be excavating for the pads around the gym and the around the gym. And we've got the stats underway. We've demolished all the old Resners and the connections to the chiller recently for both buildings. The chiller will go back on Wednesday of this week, and then we'll just continue through to early spring, and then we estimate having the punch walk at that time. Next on the commissioning, which was something we brought forth recently, we're working with Seed, who's a mechanical engineering firm who does a lot of the design work for the HVAC projects. And they're really just testing each of the buildings A and E so they can see how they're currently functioning. As a part of that process, you can see in these photos, we found some equipment that has not been working and that it's not currently operational, so it is impacting the functional testing that we're able to do, but we're hoping to get those repairs made quickly so we can complete the testing before the budget runs out. It's a little bit of a challenge at this point. They're about 90% done, and there's a little bit left in the budget. So coming from outside the city of Marysville, travel time sort of eats into the budget. They showed up, they can't test as they thought, so just something to be aware of. And thanks to maintenance for assisting in getting folks out to help assess the needed repairs for staff. Also, getting the heat on at Lyndhurst to mix with the air from the chiller system for the A building so we could really see how that was currently functioning. We found that only one of four burners was operational, so it is impacting the testing results that we're going to get.
Cynthia, do we have a date of when we think increment two is going to be completed?
Should be early spring.
Early spring?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So graduation might be a little cooler in the gym?
Yes.
Good.
On for increment three, we've talked about this, you know, over the last couple quarters. We are making tremendous progress. Staff's been really wonderful at Lyndhurst. They've given us the gym so that the contractors and their subcontractors have blocks of time that you can really get in there and get the work done. We took the banners down. We're painting the inside, all the conduit. We're painting the outside. We're putting back the murals. So we're really touching. Anywhere we touch, we're, you know, constructing, so it'll be perfect when we're done. So that's Ink 2. Ink 3 is here. Note on the science building controls, we have Siemens controls in the building. When it was built, those are proprietary. You have to hire a firm that knows that system and those controls. It's not something we can do in-house. So we do have a proposal in hand, so we have a cost estimate of what it will take. We're drafting the contract documents, and we'll advertise. And thanks for purchasing. They help a lot, as well as accounting. To really get these projects going, it takes a combined effort. Technology helps a lot, too. So I really appreciate that support. We're waiting on the commissioning report so we get the needed repairs so we know what the cost will be for the A and the E buildings and the G building and everything else listed on the slide here. A little bit about DSA legacy. We've talked about this in the past. We had quite a f- I think 26 legacy open when I came, and we are slowly closing them. You can see here at the top of the slide, we've recently got a certification letter for Alicia. I've requested two more be voided. And so you can see what the result is of when we do achieve certification. We get a letter from DSA stating that we're cleared. So that's underway. And the budget there, just please note that that is only the $500 re-examination fee to open the file. It's really for DSA staff time to review the file so they can close it.
So, Cynthia, I just want to say thank you for your diligence on this. This is mind-boggling that we have so many of these DSA closeouts that are something that we have to deal with now. So, and it's always harder after the fact. So I think that's one of the issues. So thank you for your diligence on doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Here's a little bit more, and we'll talk about this as we look at the master plan and the available funding. We have some recommendations. These are some of those that remain open. Most difficult, less difficult. None of them are easy. It takes a tremendous amount of time and effort. So I won't get into the details. You can read those for yourself. Lowest difficulty, you know, these are the ones that will be the easiest to close. They will take an inspector. It will take some investigation on site. It will take, you know, a little bit of digging through the archive files. Prop 39, we're just plugging away everything that's been approved already that I've shared in the past we're working toward. Lyndhurst should have gotten their Cobra light heads that are LED yesterday, so I'll be checking that tomorrow when I'm on site. So this is just a list of the things that we've got in place and approved for funded, and also I will be calculating the fund to receive funds for Yuba Gardens, McKinney, and Olivehurst as time allows. Linda, we're in closeout with that project and on to maintenance.
Okay, so some of these projects recently just got finished up in between the slideshow. So, again, we've got the wrought iron fencing over at Lyndhurst High School that was completed. Looks great out there for further projects that we're going to be working on. Probably this summer we're hoping to get some gates fabricated down in our shop like we did out here, made in-house to make that more of a secure campus. So that came out beautifully. I don't know if anybody's seen that. A good curb appeal. We're going to be working on beautification in the front of the school as well. So when you drive by the front down the freeway, it gives it kind of that pop.
Travis, yeah. Just a question. Did maintenance have to do this work?
No, this was we contracted this out.
Right.
It's definitely a specialty type of deal to go ahead and put a wrought iron fencing.
I was kind of concerned. We paid $43,000 to have a fence installed, and if you guys had to go out and pour concrete or something, that's kind of concerning.
Oh, if we had to, yeah. So it's definitely the guys like to tackle projects like this, but at some point we have to tell them we have to get to our preventative maintenance tasks. So I try to keep the balance of doing these. We're in the process of possibly purchasing some wrought iron fencing to keep at the maintenance and operations yard. So when we get to the projects, that might only be 150 linear feet. We can do those in-house. But when we get over that, it gets a little bit taxing. So, over here, we've got a list of other maintenance, other in-progress maintenance and operation projects. You can see in there, it's definitely busy. We're still trying to keep things in-house. We've kind of taken on extra staffing with our electrician and plumber, and we're taking on more projects. So I'm glad to see that, as it definitely makes a dollar go further. And back to Cynthia.
Energy management, I guess all I can really say about it is it's ongoing. It takes an ongoing amount of effort, a lot of effort. We are providing the sites with report cards that sort of outlines key points like water conservation or propane use or things like that. We have recently added propane use into the database, and we're tracking that. We provide the data year to year, some of the summer, so you can see how much we've saved or not. And then back to Ryan.
So yeah, some of the energy management stuff will keep coming. We're still sorting through that. Obviously, the facility needs get taken care of first in Prop 39. Overlooking, we are when we start looking at master plan, the reason we're expanding this is to get some input and kind of show you where we're going. So you can see some of the funding. We have some remaining routine restricted maintenance. The remaining funding, that's how we fund those smaller projects, and that is usually expended by the end of the year or close to it. Deferred maintenance, we have a plan in here, and you'll see how we're 10-day spend the $1.1 million plus $820 thereafter. General fund, one-time money, that's how we've been funding our major facilities projects, and then Prop 39 is its own restricted funding source. So Measure P, we actually have a little money left, and so we're trying to finish the Foothill Septic System scope. We had finished the main project. Cynthia had ran the front project. We have the new septic system in, but we didn't get to do a lot in and around the system in terms of the hardscape, the landscaping, fencing, and whatnot. That's kind of going to turn over to maintenance. Last meeting, we had a contract to do the asphalt resurfacing in that playground in and around that was affected by where the new septic system came on. So we're really going to, the field's been done kind of on a separate project, but to finish that Foothill scope, we're going to get in and around down there over by the playground and out through to the septic system. Cynthia's also helping with some of the enclosures for some of the valves that are sticking out of the ground, but that's how we're going to complete the bond money. After that, I mean, it's completely gone. We kind of waited a little bit to add scope here because we had the Olivehurst and Johnson Park landscaping project, so that's how we're going to complete that. So that really isn't going to be a pot, but we'll show you how we conclude that. Now, deferred maintenance is small here, but I know you guys have a copy of the deferred maintenance plan. And the deferred maintenance plan is a derivative of the facilities master plan. Anything that's here is going to address issues that are on the facilities master plan. Some of them are general. You see HVAC duct replacement, and there's $294,000 plus in there. Well, there's some listed on the facilities master plan. We're going to go through in a matter of priority. Marysville, for example, and Ella have some high priorities that are on the full master plan list, and which is attached as an appendix to your presentation. Those will be done first. So we have some general, like HVAC duct, roof repairs, whatnot, asphalt, asbestos abatement, carpet, linoleum, flooring, covering. And then you see some specific ones. For example, Lyndhurst football field, that's a major project in its own right. So that's going to be done. And some of these might carry over. You know, it's listed in 16-17, but we'll probably have to do it sometime during the spring into the summer. So some of it might carry over into July. You carry that over into the next year. And then that, whatever you have carried over, plus the 820 is what you're going to have in 16-17. And some things are subject to change. We might move a few dollars here and there. But generally, this is what we're trying to accomplish. Some of the other specific projects are football field at Marysville. We're going to try to improve over there. We talked about the district window replacement. We're already doing some of that. We may move a little bit into this year. And then the gym floors at Lyndhurst and Marysville both, and the bleacher replacement. So as we plan those out and we move monies and actuals come in, these are all estimates. This will be subject to change. We'll bring you an updated one every time we do the quarterly report. But again, the projects that are listed here are either on the list or on the list to go to make it onto into the master plan next year when we update it, or they're, you know, in those general categories. The rest of the money too we have with the general fund one time. We have some obligations that we have to move forward on. One was Cynthia mentioned increment 3. We're waiting on that commissioning report to determine the final budget. We've earmarked $2 million. We've already budgeted and encumbered the money to do all the design for Increment 3, but to do the actual construction, it's going to take more. Increment 3 is going to be more than Increment 3. It's really going to probably be Increment 3, 4, and perhaps 5, depending on our available funding. But what we want to do is we want to get the classrooms first. So by bringing in at least Building E and the controls of the science building, you're integrating. We want a comprehensive, controlled, reliable system for the air temperature, obviously, and the air handling at that campus. So by bringing back in that science into the fold and then getting the last major classroom building, we'll see where we can bring in G in the administration building. We have to do that. We have to make that campus suitable for students and staff. The other part was, we've talked about this before, was the Edgewater bathroom portable replacement. There's just certain things that are going to come up during the course of how we're going through the planning that it's a health and safety issue, and it's the life cycle is basically expired. We're already started work on that process. We're starting design and planning just to try to get an effort to get it started this summer and completed in the fall is our goal, because we're going to use a kind of a modular design. It's a prefabricated DSA to make it go through quicker, but it's a permanent building. It will be on concrete. It will be something that will be there for obviously many years. We're trying to get away from portables on that campus. And it's going to be a little bigger than we had first imagined just because of ADA, you know, the American Disabilities Act. We have to have a certain amount of stalls per student. The current restroom will be usable until we can replace it, but then we're going to obviously dispose of that. So what that does is, as these kind of items become just pressing needs, you know, obviously our money goes pretty quickly. So that leaves us about $319,000 that's unbudgeted out of the one-time money. And so on the next slide, we have a few recommendations on how to allocate this money. We're not asking the board for input, perhaps, at this meeting. We want, obviously, to digest this and perhaps tell us at the next meeting is our goal, because if we want to start implementing these things, we need to get moving on them. One is the ADA study. That's pretty important. The study is $64,500. That doesn't include improvements. However, based on that study, there might be some improvements that we can do minimal cost, perhaps a few more of the dollars from the general time, or even some routine maintenance money if it's smaller projects. The electrical system capacity safety upgrade, that alone is $135,000 for the study. Those are bigger time projects. There might be some small ones on there. They're both very important, obviously. We need some improvements on our electrical system. They're very outdated or at capacity. There are some smaller projects that are very doable that would help in a lot of ways. It kind of even goes into not only just the condition of our facilities, but also our energy management, is to have irrigation automation that would help the condition of a lot of fields. And it's relatively inexpensive when you think about doing that throughout the entire district for $20,000 to automate the rest of where we are. The legacy projects, the reason I put $100,000 plus is because that's just to kind of get you started. You saw the legacy projects that are in this handout that Cynthia went over. That was just to pay for the DSA fees, as she said. That could provide a hindrance for us as we move forward with these other projects, that they require DSA approval. DSA may say, wait, you haven't closed this project. So it'd probably be good to allocate some money. And we're thinking at least $100,000 to try to get most of those closed. Another one we put up there, because we're doing all the stuff with the septic system and there's not a lot of shade at Foothill, that's one that we would have liked to do in the scope of that septic system. It's not really within the scope, and it's beyond what budget we have. And then we have the Lyndhurst camera upgrades and repairs. Again, it's just a health and safety thing. There's a lot of cameras on that campus, hundreds, actually, over 100. So a lot of them are either outdated or broken, and we've had, obviously, activities on that campus, so that's a heightened, not trying to highlight that campus, the full list of all of your master plan objects are here. All the ones that were on the master plan as approved by the board in June are here with updates. You can see the updates. Some have been completed. Some are in progress. Some are small items that we have work orders in for. There's also a couple sheets at the end of that that we call the non-FMP or non-facility master plan projects. What those are newer concerns, newer things that have been heightened based on our scale that if they're not completed during this year, they'll roll into the new plan. So as items fall off, those items will be added into the plan as we present it to the board in May or June. That will include, too, as we get individual items here through that deferred maintenance plan, that will be taken off as well. And so you'll see updates again. You'll see an update on both this list and the deferred maintenance plan in February when we come back. And then hopefully May, June, we'll bring you the updated total plan, which should look fairly similar to what you saw with a little more detail and updates. So from our perspective, we would like your input, obviously, on what we've presented to you tonight, especially spending the end of that general fund one-time money. And as more money arises, we'll ask you for your input again. So with that, I'll kind of open it up to questions.
So actually, Ryan, looking at our master facilities plan, in Tier 1, I can't find Lyndhurst High School's football field.
It's in the non-FMP one. So what we basically said is since this plan has been published, that has been heightened based on our criteria. And so it's in the last two pages of that appendix. I think it's in there are actually three pages.
So, and also for the shade structure at Blue Hill is actually a Tier 3 that we have already on our master facilities plan.
It's been heightened up because of the scope. Why we put it on the non-FMP Tier 1 is because it's been heightened because of the removal of some other items to address that hardscape area. So there's been some shade removed. There's some tree areas that have caused some of that issue, and they might bleed into the septic system. So it's reduced shade on that campus. So that's why it got heightened. So some of these items you'll see might get heightened or removed. And so that's why we're adding those couple pages at the end to kind of show you those items that we're kind of foreshadowing what's going to be in the plan next year. So if we have opportunity to address what we believe are tier one items, even though they didn't make it onto the plan, we're going to heighten those and make you aware of them. So if they're not on one of these two lists, then that's my fault and I will adjust it accordingly. But with the help of both Travis, Cynthia, Scott, Mo, Ed, Brian, and all their staff, we've been trying to update it diligently, so I appreciate all their help. And there's a lot of needs, but your input would help. Thank you.
Okay, if there are no other questions, let's move along to school reports.
Well, good evening. It's great to be here and to be able to highlight some things going on up the hill at Dobbins and Yuba Feather Elementary Schools. I'm going to do as little talking tonight as possible and let my staff shine tonight. So first we're going to bring up Ms. Monica Quilty and Ms. Carol Kelly as they talk about a collaboration that they did along with between the two elementary schools and Lyndhurst High School.
Okay, so I didn't know it took so much to run a school district. Wow. Thank you. I thought going on a field trip with 50 kindergartners was rough, but it was a pretty easy day for us, pretty fun. So we are going to share with you a field trip. It's an annual field trip. We take it every year. Usually it's Yuba Feather School, and it's our kindergarten class and our first grade class. This year we decided to collaborate with Dobbins. It's hard to get off the hill and down to a field trip, and we thought it would be best to use our money by sharing a bus. So we started out from Yuba Feather, and we went to Dobbins, and then we made our way to... We're going to start the slideshow, by the way, and just let it play, so you get to see some really fun pictures of kindergartners. So we thought we would collaborate, and we also decided that we would go to the Pumpkin Festival at Lyndhurst High School, and it's the FFA program. And we've done this a number of years, and it's just a great opportunity for our students to get to a working farm. They get to see a tractor. They get to do a lot of different activities that Ms. Kelly is going to talk about. I just wanted to share with you that one of the reasons that we do this is to conclude a study in kindergarten on plant life, and we usually surround it around the pumpkin and what it takes to grow a plant, what they need, what the life cycle is, and then we go down to the pumpkin patch and we get to see all that.
Was it this one?
Flash drive. Flash drive.
This one. There it is. Never mind, I found it. There we go.
Good go.
All right,
we got it.
Okay, cool. So this is our students arriving, and just finished with saying that it's a great opportunity for our students to see the working farm. We also do lesson plans in animals and plants. And I just want to say thank you to Lyndhurst High School, and those high school kids do a fabulous job of taking around these kindergartners, and they model great respect. And they also give students the opportunity to see what you can do when you get to high school. A lot of our kindergartners are just like, wow, look at these big kids running tractors and such. So I'll turn it over to Ms.
So again, thank you for letting us be here to share our wonderful field trip. Again, what you will see is nothing but fun. That's what the school is all about. And again, we support and we appreciate all the work that goes into the children here. As you will see, we have tractors that are pulling hay rides. The kids are nothing but giggles and grins, and they are heading over to a pumpkin patch. They each got a pumpkin, and we gathered up the pumpkins, and the FFA group, leadership group, was absolutely fabulous. We did not even have to manage this group. They took charge and had an array of different activities for the children. You will see here there's a lot of discussion about the pumpkins and the growing and the parents. A lot of the parents came down the hill as well. And I just want you to enjoy what we did. There were crafts. The kids were broken up into three different tables, and there were crafts, face painting. A lot of effort put in by FFA, again. Lots of fun. One of the great advantages of having two schools up in the hills that are off the beaten track is this special collaboration. And I am so grateful to Yuba Feather and to Mr. Triplett for allowing us to really join together and have this project. Again, the project did cost money, and our PTC, as well as your PTSA, joined funds together for us to come down the hill. Here is where there's animals. There were horses, lambs, roosters. Many of the kids up in the foothills have had opportunities to see those critters, but yet hands-on like this was just super fun for the kids. Well-organized group. We were threatened by huge rainstorm all day. Not a dribble fell on us. And as soon as we went up the hill, the sky opened up. But we absolutely had a fabulous day down at Lyndhurst. Kids were well-behaved. They were sucking up every little thing that they could see and do. This was a life cycle of the pumpkins. We were in a building. There was a little slideshow, and the children did a hands-on activity, cut and paste and color. And, again, FFA was just right in there working with the kids. There you go, at the end of the day, lunch. They were very tired. We're pulling all of the troops back together and then getting back. We did go. This is the group, this is the FFA group. This is the end of the day, all the kids without their face painting. And then the silly photos. And then, of course, the face painted kids. They just had a wonderful time. It was a great opportunity for Dobbins and for Yuba Feather kids to kind of rub elbows, and here we go at the end of the day, about an hour and 15 minutes back up the hill, and it was a quiet bus. And we had a wonderful time. So again, we want to thank you for the opportunity to share our two little schools up in the hill, and we do appreciate all of your support and continued support for us. Thank you.
Thank you. It was really exciting to see an activity that is a lot of times traditional, but yet it met so many of the curricular things that we needed to do, and then really give our kids an opportunity to look up to some high school kids and see ways that in school you can do something that's really enjoyable and that leads to a career later on in life. So we were thrilled with that. Next up is Ms. Joan Knowles, and we have a unique program up at Yuba Feather in the after school where we have archery. And it's something that I started doing when I was about 5 or 6, and it teaches a lot of things. And so, Ms. Knowles, why don't you come up and share your program?
I, too, want to thank you guys for letting me be here. I'm going to say a few things, and then you'll be able to just enjoy the slideshow of the students with some pictures. First thing is Yuba Feather has had the archery program for 13 years now, and it's something that the students look forward to become of age, to be able to participate in it, and that isn't until you're a third grader. I have 3 sessions that goes on. The first session is 4 through 6. Second session is the third graders, and I have some homeschoolers who come in who are in independent study, and then I have a third session where they come from Foothill on up to participate. And I usually don't get done until about 6 p.m. One of the things I do it for is because I love it, and I like to watch to see the students' growth in it. And the students' response to it is that they're learning to focus on their body. I have a lot of students who don't know what they're doing with their body. By the time they're done with archery, they are knowing where their mind is, and they can focus and control themselves. It's also cooperation, because when we go somewhere on a tournament, they have to work as a group together to participate. I don't take any student on a tournament. They have to earn the right to go, because it's a privilege. It helps their academics, because they cannot participate in the archery program unless their grades are up, and their parents say they can, and the teachers say they can. They also learn responsibility and respect, and if they don't show it, they're out. I don't keep them in. Parents love it because their children are learning that they can't go unless their homework is done and their classroom work is done and they're respecting the teachers. Also, the parents like it because some of them have participated and gone on our tournaments, and when we're on a tournament, you may be hiking 6 miles in by the time you're done. So they're doing an outdoor activity. They're not sitting at home playing video games or vegetating on the couch. They are doing something healthy. Teachers like it because the student has to have a good attitude, have to have good grades. They have to, not necessarily good grades, but adequate grades, but they have to want to do the work in order to be able to be an archer, because they can pull them out. And I can't say anything more about it unless you see the slide to see how much the kids enjoy. Thank you. I don't know if you have any questions, but if you do, if not, come shoot with us someday.
See, it's nice to see kids doing that instead of walking around like this and, you know, doing all the other kinds of stuff.
Wednesdays and Thursdays.
It's really a nice program to see, and the connection between the classroom and the kids doing better and attending better. It's just been fantastic. The parents are pleased with it, and it's something we're real proud of, and we see the benefits at our school and the culture with it. So with that, that's our report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that brings us to comments from board members. Mr. Rasmussen?
Actually, just a couple. I went to the Veterans Day Parade and got to see some of our students perform in the Veterans Day Parade, and it was wonderful to see that. Looking forward to next year, hopefully having some of our ROTC folks also being able to participate in the parade. And I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you'll have some relaxing time with family and friends and get rejuvenated and be ready to come back to work. So thank you.
Mr. Fleury?
We have a lot of things going on in our district. And to make all this pull together as a family, we got something in our Friday packet that really made me think about that, looking back over the years and where we're at now and what I hear on CSBA, we're very lucky. I just want to read this letter that this teacher epitomized this note to Gay. I just wanted to thank you for the longevity awards, and I think Romero's office started that. She said, I just wanted to thank you for the warm and friendly atmosphere last night. It really felt like a family environment during the ceremony. I really appreciated your kind, your warm demeanor, and the way you received many people with a gracious hug. MJUSD has been my family for many years. I certainly don't have much family, although I have great friends and coworkers that are my family at my school site. Thanks to this district, I have long friends that I consider my family. Last night was a testimony to our friendly environment that really was like a family. I felt so very proud and honored to be part of the MJUSD team and family. Thank you. And that's what it is. A lot of stuff goes on in this district, maintenance, transportation, operations, but everybody, it comes together as a family. One of our employees told me the other day, been here over 30 years, said, I've never seen this district run so well. She took me aside and wanted to make sure I did that, and told me that. When you go to other districts and you hear what other districts, we're very, very fortunate, and we're on our way to becoming a very great district.
Mr. Harris?
Just echo what they said. Have a happy
Thanksgiving.
Mr. Crawford?
I just like to congratulate the Marysville High School football team.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Danable.
For meetings now, I've been saying I have nothing to say. So I wrote down some notes that I'll read and try to tell you a few things about my 4 years on the board here. First of all, I want to thank everyone for the respect they have shown me. I am not worthy of it. I'm a regular person. I prefer to be called Tony. I think you guys have done a remarkable job. It's been an experience that I will never forget. I think you all know that I really only wanted to do 4 years here. I think we've pretty much known that since the election of 2012. Nevertheless, I feel as though I've done my job honorably and honestly and tried to get along with as many people as I possibly could. So I was thinking, you know, I am an undertaker. You guys know that, right? All right. Do you know why I like being an undertaker? I get to work with cool people. You guys are all cool. I think your hard work is wonderful. I think you've taken a vision that our superintendents have had, made it happen, and showed it to us. My job has been very, very easy. All I had to do was say yes on a vote. you guys had to implement everything. I do want to bring back some moments in time that I thought were pretty funny. Cynthia one day walked up to me in the hallway, right? And she said, "It's good to see you." And what did I say to you, Cynthia? Is it really? It was great. It was great. When I first met Lisa, by the way, was the person that told me I won the race. And I remember Lisa getting to know me, and she said one day, "You're a people person." And I knew that, but the look on her face was, yikes, I was the first one she ever met. Please instruct Amber to call me Tony. She's the only one that calls me Mr. Danable. You know, my son, the day after the election, I have one son in Denver, and he texted me, and he said, "How'd you do, Pop?" And I said, I lost. And he said, "That's a good thing, right?" That's another group of people I need to thank. It's my family. You know, I have a grandson that's going to be 2 in December that I've never met. So I will now have an opportunity to meet him. However, my business here isn't finished in Marysville. Some more good times. I remember Lisa telling me that her husband and son watched The Walking Dead, and she hates it. She doesn't like it at all. And I'm sitting at home saying to myself, she sits 10 feet behind The Walking Dead. I say this all in jest, folks. I warned my brothers here that I might make a little fun of them in closed session, and it's all in good fun. I think about the Halloween party. My grandchildren actually think that Dad has gone off and finally done the right thing and married a witch. My grandchildren want to know, is she always green? That picture there. Okay. Not only that, I think of songs when I think of you guys, superintendents. At the Halloween party, Mr. Carrion's department was pink slipping it. And my mind automatically went to the Eurythmics, "Here Comes the Rain Again." God, guys, you're a tough audience. Educators, that's right. I invite you all to the National Funeral Directors Convention where you will see the living. Nevertheless, I'm going to end this pretty short. It's been fun. I've loved it. I didn't want to win again. I started my goodbye tour a month ago. I stopped by all your places. It's been very nice. Now, regarding our superintendent, she has been a wonderful person. The first time I met her, oh, by the way, I never met any of you guys before the election. So I was sitting in her office. You know, I don't really know much about her, but when she walked in, the song that came to my mind was, the minute she walked in the door, I could tell she was a girl of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, and so refined. You guys have a wonderful superintendent. I have seen her in action in all kinds of scenarios, and you guys are lucky. She has made my job easy, and it's been a pleasure to work with her. So, as a funeral director, I have learned after 41 years of burying thousands and thousands of people, how do I do it without losing my mind? This is how, folks. The casket has been lowered into the grave. I now turn around and walk away, not to look back. Thank you all very much.
Well, I don't know how to follow that. I would like to say congratulations to our district for the quarterly report, the Williams report. It's always nice to see that we have done well in that, kept our schools up. I'm at an odd point since the election hasn't been called for me. So I don't want to say anything that, but I will echo the sentiment that I have enjoyed working with all of you people and throughout the district. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Okay, and that brings us to opportunities for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. I left. Okay. Maybe we should delay this more. Operating Engineers Local number 3. Okay. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees Supervisory Unit. Okay, there are no public comment cards here. So with that, I turn it over to the superintendent for her report.
Well, thank you very much. I have just two items. First of all, this is Trustee Tony Danable's last meeting tonight. His term began in December of 2012, and it ends tonight, November 2016. He served as the trustee for Area 2, which includes Edgewater Elementary, Kynock Elementary, Linda Elementary, and McKinney Intermediate School. Tony has also attended 90 of the 94 meetings to date and has attended several of the CSBA conferences where we've learned a lot and grown, and I think all of us become better board members when we can attend those kinds of trainings. Thank you, Mr. Danable, for your very positive direction and helping to support our efforts. So thank you very, very much for that. And then the last thing I have to say is, have a wonderful Thanksgiving break. If you have nothing to do Monday and Tuesday, some of us will be working, so come on down. We'd be glad to see you, and we'll make you a cup of coffee. So with that, thank you very much.
Okay. The next item is approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of 10/25/16.
Move to approve.
Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Any comments? Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda. Okay, the items on the agenda have been reviewed by the board. Does anybody have anything they would like pulled?
And so, Mr. Rex, just for clarification on that vote, there were 6 yes, 0 no's, and 1 board member absent, Mr. Boehm.
1 board member absent.
Thank you.
See, that's the way she straightens me out. That's good. I like that every time. Okay. If there are no changes or comments on the consent agenda, would somebody like to make? Mr. Harris moves to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? 6 yes. 1 absent. Okay, and that brings us to new business. Okay. Item number 1 for Board of Trustees, the annual organizational meeting for the Board of Trustees. This item sets the election for the next board meeting in December. If there's any discussion, any comments, and then the board will entertain a motion to approve the organizational meeting for 12/16. Okay.
Sorry. We're going to, one more time, 12/13.
12/13.
At 5:30 p.m.
You know, when I started this, when I got elected, I didn't have to use these. Okay, 12/13 at 5:30 p.m. Okay, is there a motion to approve? Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Danable seconds. Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. 6 yes. Child development. Item resolution 2016-1708. Amendments to the 2016-17 child development program contracts.
Good evening. Just as stated in the proposed resolution, we're requesting approval of some additional funds that will be used for both our preschool program, but also our school-age program, in the amounts indicated there. So we're excited to get some additional funds from the state and plan to put it to good use. Oh, you want to help me spend them? Any questions?
More money is always good.
It's a very good thing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, if there are no questions, the board will entertain a motion to...
Make a motion to approve.
Mr. Rasmussen moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Crawford moves to second. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None? Six yes.
Thank you.
Item one, purchasing department. The one comment that I have on this or question is, will the district publish the dates for the auction? I think on this where we move district property. Have we set a date for that?
We haven't set a date as of yet. Typically, we don't publish, but we can provide it.
Okay, as long I just think it's nice to give the community some notification.
No, Kathy's always on top of it. I want to apologize on her behalf. She wasn't feeling well. She left the meeting, but she'll make sure to put it in public. I'll talk to her tomorrow about it.
Okay, if there are no other questions, the board will entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Harris moves to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Six yes. And I know we'd all like to stay, but sorry, we have to adjourn.